morning's reading is taken from Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 32, a very familiar story for you. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? And here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you and have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, he has devoured your property with prostitutes. You killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" Thus ends the reading of this word.
Our next reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." Let's pray. God, sometimes we come before you with a distance felt between us. We keep you at arm's length, thinking we can handle things all on our own. Speak to us this morning, past our ears and through to our hearts. Grant us openness to receive your love. Amen. Last week, during children's time, we blessed our children, parents and teachers as they began a new school year. Today, I want us all to look at this Sunday moving forward as a new church year, because essentially, it is. Programs are back into full swing, meetings are happening, worship is back to the usual time, and life as we've come to know it here at St. John's feels normal again. Maybe some of us are just coming back into the routine. Maybe some of us never left. Or maybe still some of us are just starting into this whole church thing. As we enter a brand new church year, a year filled with hope, promise, and insight, starting fresh is an option for all of us. We can view this year as a blank canvas. An artist methodically scrutinizes his subject, then dips his brush into paint and begins to fill the canvas with something that is fresh and innovative. Like the artist, we can fill our canvas of church life this year with whatever we want. But with so many artists creating this masterpiece, there will always be many different ideas of how this should be created. With so many artists, this masterpiece will have many different layers of intricate details. With so many artists, we could be led to the same position those seagulls from our children's time ended in, stuck. At times, we all have the same vision of what we want as a church, what we want to see on that canvas, yet how we get to the end result varies. Maybe you feel like you know what is best for our church because you've been here so long that you just know how things should be based on how they've always been. Maybe you feel like you know what is best for our church because you are new and can do things differently than how they've always been done. Maybe you feel like you are best just to stay on the sidelines and let others step in and step up because you don't want to risk speaking up and not being heard or being rejected because of what you think. And that's where we tie in the story of the prodigal son. From this parable, some of us are easily reminded of our own selfishness and stubbornness when we willfully sought our own way. Some of us are reminded about how angry we were when others were not held accountable for their actions, when we have been so careful not to displease anyone. Do we really understand this parable, though? I think we do, and I think we cringe at the thought of admitting that we too can be those people in the parable. The ones who have been stubborn and selfish, angry and unforgiving, sorrowful and caught between conflicting factions. We are really no different from these characters in our own unique way. At times, it's our own thoughts and actions that hinder us from growing as a person and maybe even growing as a church. As people in this church, we all have differences, different ways of thinking, of working, of worshiping, of serving, but we share in this church world together. It may not always be comfortable, but together with God, we can make it work. At times, things need to change whether we are ready or not, and we need to recognize that without change, there will be no growth. As a church, we have so much to be thankful for. We have a past that is full of amazing things God has done to make St. John's the place it is today. We have a past full of good and faithful servants who poured into the life and work here, ensuring that the future congregation would have a vibrant place to worship. We have a future to look ahead to with joy and anticipation of what might come. We have a future to plan for so that our future congregations might experience some of the amazing things we have experienced. But we live in the present, and we need to be present right now, and in order to do that, we need to begin anew. Begin anew as people, begin anew as a church. We need to recognize that the choices we make today will have an impact on the decisions we make tomorrow. We need to recognize that how we treat people, how we accept them, how we love them, how we work with them, will impact the foundation of our church. We need to shift our focus from a me mentality to a Christ-centered focus, seeking his love and ways and attitudes in all chapters of life. We are the prodigal children. Every time we search for unconditional love and acceptance, cannot be found. Why do we keep ignoring the place of true love and persist in looking for it elsewhere? Why do we keep leaving home where we are called children of God, the beloved of our Father? We so freely accept the gifts God has given us in our health, our intellect, and our emotional gifts, and use them to impress others, to receive affirmation and praise, and to compete for attention and rewards instead of developing them for the glory of God. It's almost as if we want to prove to ourselves and to our world that we do not need God's love, that we can make a life on our own, that we want to be fully independent. How are you a prodigal child? Where are you trying to find what only God can give you? In your job? In your calling? In your abilities? In your family or other relationships? Or is it in some other behavior, some other addiction, some other attitude? There's a certain point in our lives that we realize that all the things that we hoped would give us life, all the things that we thought would fill us up and give us a sense of belonging, do not measure up. In fact, the things that we might hope would give us life often bring the opposite. We return to God the same way that the Son returned to the Father. We admit that we were wrong, that we never should have left home, that all we need in life is found right here at home with the Father. We admit that living in a far-off land without God leads to hardship, not abundance in life. We admit that the things that we have been running after to find life do not lead to life. It is only in relationship with God that we find true life. One of the greatest challenges of the spiritual life is to receive God's forgiveness. There's something in us that keeps us clinging to our ways and prevents us from letting God erase our past and offer us a completely new beginning. Sometimes it even seems as though we want to prove to God that our darkness is too great to overcome and we are better off facing it alone. There is good news in all of this. We all have an opportunity to begin anew today. We have the open invitation to join the party like the one thrown for the Son who walked away and came back. Every day we have that opportunity, actually. Even when it feels like outwardly we may be wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed in Christ each day. God creates in us a clean heart and renewed spirit, and he doesn't ever get tired of us coming back to him over and over again, acknowledging our shortcomings. In fact, he rejoices when we reconnect with him and recognize that we've wandered away. He rejoices when we put aside our desire to go through life on our own, being prideful and not accepting his help. He rejoices that we long to be new creations in him. But it's scary to think about starting over again, isn't it? Especially when we become so accustomed to our ways of living, especially when the fear of failure is so great. When we come to God offering him our wounds, offering him the things that keep us apart from him, offering all of our shortcomings, he doesn't punish us. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us love. He offers us grace. I want to challenge all of us right now to begin anew with Christ, to start fresh today, to let go of whatever we've been holding on to that we need to release, to let go of whatever has been holding us back, to let go of negativity, to let go of our selfishness, stubbornness, independence, and pride, and acknowledge that we need God. We need to invite him into our personal life, and we need to invite him here into our church. We need to seek forgiveness and be embraced by the Father who welcomes us back over and over again. When we allow this to happen, we can receive his gifts with gratitude and use them for his glory, knowing we have been made new. The children were given seagulls to color and decorate with the colors red and green. The red one was for things that represented their selfishness, things that illustrated the me, me, me attitude. The green was for ways that they are going to change their life in order to bring them to a closer relationship with God. You don't have seagulls to color, but you do have a red and a green Post-it on the front of your bulletin. I want you to use these in the same way as the seagulls. On the red one, write down what is selfish in you. What inside you is that me focus? What behavior or attitude is there that needs to stop? On the green one, write down what you are going to become in order to become closer to our God. Take them home with you. Hang them on your fridge. Put them in your wallet. Stick them to your bathroom mirror. Put them somewhere where you can be reminded of the story of the prodigal son, where you can be reminded that the old has gone and that in Christ you are a new creation. Today we are all blessed as the start of a new year begins. A new season turns. A new us is created, just as our students, parents, and teachers were blessed last week. We don't need to wait to begin anew. There's no good reason to. Our God is calling out to us, welcoming us back into his arms, releasing us from the chains that have been holding us back, and daily he offers us amazing grace that sets us free. Thanks be to God.